Here, Paul prays that we would have a revelation. Our eyes will be opened to some certain facts. That in here, the reality that we have, you know, it's kind of like sometimes in our marriage relationships, you know, after a while you take each other for granted, you forget how good you have it. You know, after a while you start focusing on the negatives instead of all the good stuff. Right? And in here, we just went up to a men's retreat. And they're talking about parents, and they're talking about parenting. And they're talking about some very horrific families of, you know, fathers who beat their children, name-called, just abusive type things. And the guy got up afterwards, he goes, you know, I thought my parents were kind of rough, but I realized I have been pretty good. Right? It's so easy to focus on the negative than it is to focus on the positive in all these things. And Paul here starts off, here says, therefore, verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Paul looked at this church and in here he realizes that they had two things that's really fundamental in churches. And when churches mess this up, they get off kilter and they lose their focus. And Paul, remember, he's in prison, writes off to this church in Ephesus. He says, look, there's two things I see in you. One is your faith. How important is it for a church to have faith in God? A lot. I remember talking to a pastor of a very liberal church. And he goes, well, what do you preach on? I said, I'm kind of lazy. I just go by the book. I just go by the Bible. I said, how about you? And he goes, well, you know, sometimes I really struggle because, you know, at that point he was looking at the Reader's Digest for material and the latest movies. He was going through all this stuff, trying to find material that was relevant to the people. And I said, man, I just stick to the Bible. He goes, oh. I just got a notice from, I think it's American Baptist Churches. I got a letter from them. They're all excited because the American Baptist Churches can be fairly liberal in areas. They turn around and they say, look, we're inviting all our pastors down to the seminar because we got this new latest trend. And they're all excited on it because we're hoping this trend catch on. And the trend was, just preach the Bible. That was the trend. And I read it and said, yes, I'm cutting edge. You know, I've never been cutting edge of anything. You know? And they found how wonderful it is just to go back to the Word. What does the Bible say? And wow, you know what? It says a lot. And I can start applying this through. And in here, verse 15 says, Paul, look, let's out here. Remember, he's in prison and in here he's reminded from these people that he loves and he's hearing a good report. You know, if you ever sent your kids off and you wonder, will they be good or not? You ever hear that? And as a parent, it's always good when, you know, you go pick up your kid and they're like, yeah, your kids were great. It's like, whew. You know? I was a camp director for a summer. And we started off every morning with the bugle call. And we ended every night with taps. And so there's this one kid. And it always kind of scares you when the parent drops off and they apologize ahead of time. You're like, I'm so sorry for what Bobby's going to do this week. And Bobby was great. I had no problem with Bobby. Yeah, and he loved the Reveille call for wake up, and we, you know, did a dinner call and we did everything with bugle calls. And he got up and he made his bed, and he was just perfect. His mom picked him up and goes, oh, you know, how was he? I said, he was great. He's like, really? I said, yeah. He made his bed every day. He picked up, because what I do is I go through for his inspection. And he took, this is going to be a future military kid. Because he wanted everything just spot on. He put his shoes on it. He was just, and his mom's like, wow, I didn't know he could do it. He goes, Mom, can you get a bugle? You know? And what a relief it must have been for Paul. Here he is in prison, in here, hearing about this church that he helped establish. And he's hearing such fantastic things. That look, this church has kept the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't been caught off by all the distractions that's around. You know, there's a lot of good things that can be done, that should be done. But folks, if we lose focus off Jesus Christ, then all these fringe things just become fringe things. And there's a lot of churches that are doing a lot of good things, but they've lost Jesus in the midst of it. Not so with Ephesus. He goes, I hear about your faith. And Paul says, you know, I don't care how cold this prison is, how damp it is. I have a burning joy in my heart because I hear you guys are going on. The second thing actually goes along with the first. It says, look, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And this should be a natural product. Look, folks, if I love Jesus, guess what? I should love you. Why? Because guess what? Jesus loves you, and I should love what He loves. That in here, Jesus is the great equalizer. As we come before the cross, guess what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. And guess what? You're a sinner saved by grace. That brings us equal. You're a children of God, and I'm a children of God. And that brings us in together. And the characteristics of churches should be our love and faith in the Lord and our love for one another. And once again, there's a lot of churches that fail in this. You know, there's churches that people don't like each other. You know, not that I encourage you to go church shopping, but if you're out and about, here's an interesting thing. This is kind of something I picked up years ago. Go to a church and time. You know, don't let anyone see you do this, right? And if you all are gone next week, I know I shouldn't have preached this. But if you're out and traveling, I like to do is wait for the pastor to say the last amen. And wait how long it takes for people to clear out. I've been in churches where the pastor said amen, and there was like a sucking from all the people going out as they were rushing out the door. Couldn't wait to get out of there. I sung to a pastor who's been in a church for a couple of years now. And he goes, the people are finally starting to get it. He goes, you know what? I have to almost have to kick them out because everyone wants to stay and talk and chat. You know, I enjoy here that, you know, we feed you. We want you to stick around. There's a plug next door afterwards. Stick around. Right? Why? Because it's more than just, you know, okay, I'm sitting in, punching my clock, doing my time, hearing what the pastor says. All right, now I've done my time. Now I go home. I mean, I heard a rumor there's a football game today. Right? And I bet if you were to go home afterwards, you're not going to because you're going to come eat. But if you were to go home, I bet even this morning there was like the pre-game. Right? And they'll go on and they'll talk about it. I mean, it'll be all football all day long. And people, I mean, right? I appreciate you football fans. You know, this is a sacrifice for you coming out here. I appreciate that. You know? But in here, people will be glued to it all. People today will be all about the game, right? They're, oh, I can't get enough of it. Folks, as Christians, we should have at least a little bit of that about the Lord, about church, about His family, about the, you know, I like Sundays. And it's my only day I have to work. You know, I'm not here because I have to be. I look forward to you. I look around and, oh, people are missing. I miss the people who aren't here. Used to be an old song. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I've never heard that song. You know, love getting together with God's people. Right? And that becomes contagious. You know, if Stockton can be known for these two things, we're doing all right. That we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? And we love each other. That's a dynamic duo. And Paul looks down and sees this church, and in here is energized by that. Here he talks about, therefore I also hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And so because of that, Paul reminds them, right? Look at all the things you have in Him. That's what he said before. Then he goes into this idea of, look, there's some things that I want you to know. He wants your eyes to be open. Take a look. Ephesians 1:18. Look what he prays for. He says that your eyes of your understanding, some of your Bibles may say the eyes of your heart, would be enlightened, that you may know. There's some things he wants you to know. And the terminology here isn't that, you know, we talk about the things that we have in the Lord. We need to realize, because we are His children, God has already given us His Spirit. He has already given us these gifts. The goal isn't, He doesn't say, here, look, my prayer is that you go out and you find it. That's not what He's saying here. His goal isn't to say, look, as Christians, I hope you get more of this stuff. No, because guess what? As Christians, we already have so much at our disposal. We just don't realize it. There are a couple of events in Scripture that kind of come to mind. The first one, when Jesus rose from the dead, and Mary is at the graveside, and she's weeping. She's like, Jesus is gone. Where is He? And the Bible says that Jesus came to her, and she didn't recognize Him and presumed that He was the gardener. She's so overcome with her grief that she doesn't realize Jesus is standing right there. And she goes, look, if you know where He is, please take me to Him. He's right there. And He says, Mary. And she's like, I know that voice. He's called my name a million times. Oh, Jesus is right here. Also, after the resurrection, the Bible talks about there's some disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes alongside of them. They're talking about, hey, did you hear about Jesus? And Jesus comes and says, hey, what are you guys talking about? Oh, haven't you heard? And they're going on talking about Jesus, and He's right there. And they travel on down through, and Jesus starts expounding all the Scriptures. And says, look, you know, from Moses and all the way through, it's talking about Jesus. Talking about that He was going to die on the cross. He was talking about He was going to be rose again. He's talking about all these things, and they're like, wow, that's cool. And they said, look, we're going to stop. Why don't you sit down and eat with us? And they sat down, and Jesus broke the bread and blessed it. And it says their eyes were open. They're like, oh, it's Jesus! Right? He was here all the while! But I missed it. As Paul is talking here, look, we just went through a list of what? There's like 15, 16 things that we all have in Christ. The inheritance we have in Him, the love that we have in Him, right? All those things that we have as Christians, I don't have to go out and find them. They're already here. It's part of the package deal. I just need my eyes open to it. Right? And Paul says, look, I just listed all these things you have, and I see you have faith in the Lord, and you love each other, and my prayer for you is your eyes will be opened up to what you already have. That kind of changes things. Right? I was talking to someone, and they were talking about how it being cold, and they said, well, You need to get a car starter. You know, it's awfully cold and it'd be nice to push your button. Can I tell you something? My little Jeep, my little truck, it has one. My wife's car doesn't. She's jealous. But anyways, this gentleman's like, oh, you know, he's getting out, he's starting to have some health issues, so he needs a car starter. And so, he's a pastor of a church, and the church says, you know what, pastor, as a gift, and they all pulled together and said, we'll get you a car starter. And they did. That was their gift. And so, he lined up the garage, they pulled into the garage, and he said, look, can we have this installed in the car? And about 15 minutes, the guy comes back and says, sir, you already have one. He goes, what? He goes, on your key, there's a button. He goes, no. He goes, yeah. So they brought him out there, said, look, push. And he pushed the button, and the car started right up. Good thing it was a good, honest garage, because they could have said, oh, we put it in for you, right? Here he's had the car for years, didn't know he had the car starter. And so he suffered for it. And he goes, now it's great. Now he just starts it for fun. Because I don't even have to go anywhere. I just push the button, the car starts. Because it's cool. Right? He had it all along. Paul's prayer is your eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened that you may know. And the first thing he wants them to know is the hope of his calling. He says, look, at the eyes of your understanding, this is the rest of verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. The hope of... Notice what it says. Is it the hope of your calling? No, it's the hope of his calling. Folks, as we live this Christian life, you know, it's easy to be discouraged, it's easy to get down. The focus happens is because we find our focus on the problems, not on Christ. And in here he tells us, look, it's his calling. The life I live isn't my life, it's his life. And God knows what he's doing. He has called you. You have a purpose and you have a cause. Once again, some of you may not know this. There's a football game today. And people get pretty passionate. Actually, you're a fan. The term fan comes from a fanatic. You're a sports fanatic. Right? And people, you know, before the pre game I was watching last night, they're showing people that have Patriot tattoos. I love my team so much, I want to inject ink in my body so I'll always remember them. Right? Woohoo! Right? It's my team! They had a family on there. They called their son Brady. And not because of the bunch. Some of you get that later on. Right? But in here, all this excitement, all these things right in here. Because they want a banner to celebrate under. And don't forget the Eagles are just as fanatic. And people will cheer them on and paint their cars. And, you know, people will paint half their body with the team things. And I mean, it's amazing what people do. All in their banner. Because this is something I can rally around. Something to unite around. Folks, the hope of his calling. That he has called us under his banner. What a hope that is. Because you know what? I don't know who's going to win. Some of you already think you do. But some of you right now, I really don't care. But I'll tell you something that's more important than all of that. That when I'm on Jesus' team, I'm going to win. And it's not just for a season. This is the big game. I can rally under the hope of his calling. If you are a Christian, you are already on his team. He has called you by name. He has a plan for you. You just gotta open your eyes and realize it. You already have it. He's already called you. He's giving you hope because of it. The second thing is actually in the same verse. Talk about the riches of his glory. Verse 18 again, it says, in the eyes of your understanding, be enlightened. At the end of this, it says, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? I love this because Paul sort of gets hyper. Right? I found it interesting, you know, because some of my messages are pretty technical and I get teaching and kind of like this. And sometimes I get kind of carried away and woo, I get excited. And some of you like the excited. Pastor, you need to get excited more often, right? And maybe I should. I'm just shy, that's all. And in this, he talks about, look at what Paul says. He says, look, I hope you understand the inheritance you have in Christ. Right? The inheritance that we have in Christ. What we have in store for us. We looked at this a couple weeks ago. Right? That in here, God has prepared a place for us. That in here, the inheritance we have is Christ. The riches that we have are Him. That in here, I have a home in glory that should outshine the sun, as the old song says. A place with no more pain and no more sorrow. Where I never have to say goodbye to loved ones again. All these things are inheritance we have. But notice he doesn't say, oh, you just have an inheritance. He turns around and says, look, And it says, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance? And folks, as Christians, what we tend to do is say, okay, God, I got You. And then I got all this other stuff. And sometimes I like all my stuff in this world and its pleasures and its toys and its gizmos and its gadgets and the relationships. I like all of this more than what I have in store for me. Yeah, you know, when I die, yeah, I get heaven. But I got all this now. Folks, you don't understand the riches of glory that's in store for you. That nothing in this world can compare to what is in store for you. When you get to heaven, your socks will blown off, if we have socks in heaven. I don't know if we do or not. Right? It's nothing to compare. Now, I talked to a gentleman. He says, you know, I know Jesus is coming again, but I hope He waits. I was like, what? Because, yeah, I just hope He waits. Because I'm having too much fun right now. Life is good right now. Lord, don't come home. Don't come and mess this up. I was like, dude, you're out of whack. You're out of whack. You know, this last week, go down to the children's hospital and talk about a sad place. That we were on the sixth floor, and that's the cancer floor. And you can't help but walk through and see little children bald from chemo with bottles and needles to go in and hear about your nephew. You know what? Take this world and give me Jesus. You know, my nephew, I know he knows the Lord. What a blessing it would be if the Lord comes back right now and he would not have to go through a single more stint of chemotherapy and he'd be healed completely. Amen? This is the exciting part. Right? The riches of the glory that we have. And folks, we get so skewed. I pray that your eyes will be open to all that we have already as opposed to hanging on to the morsels and crumbs of this world that rust and fall away, that are temporary. You know, when you get my age, some of you will understand later on, but when you get my age, you know, I used to be full of dreams of all the things I was going to often do. And sometimes I look back at my life and it hasn't gone like I thought it would. Right? I thought of all the things I was going to conquer and all the things I was going to accomplish and all the successes I was going to have. And I kind of looked back and said, oh man, it's been a bumpy ride. And I look ahead and I've gotten kind of cynical in my old age. And I tell you something? Every day goes by. My prayer is, Lord, let today be the day. Let today be the day. You know, there's people in heaven I can't wait to see again. That's the riches of the inheritance I have. That Jesus, you know, sometimes living by faith is hard. And Lord, I can't wait for the day when I can actually take my arms and wrap them around Him. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon the face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. Folks, can I tell you something? You already have the inheritance. It's in the bank. You just got to open your eyes. When you're down in this world, look up. It's just temporary. A better day is coming. I don't know why I'm quoting so many songs this morning. It's just coming in. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Folks, are you looking for that day? Open your eyes. Don't be dredged about in this world. My prayer is like Paul's, that your eyes will be open to the riches of His glory, of the inheritance with the saints. Then verse 19. Down here, down to the end of the chapter, he talks about, in here, the hope that we have, not only of the things we've already said, but in here, of the hope of the power, the greatness of His power. Look at verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He has worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places." Once again, Paul gets excited here. Because he says, look, not only do we have the power of God, that'd be enough. Right? The power of God in our lives. Because I don't know about you, but often I feel powerless. You know, sometimes you feel excited, like, you know, sometimes I feel brave. Like, I'm going to take on the world. You know, anytime I've tried to take on the world, I've gotten smooshed. Anytime I turn around and say, look, here are my plans, things get derailed along the way. But Lord, give me your plans, give me your ideas, give me your plan. And as we press on, Lord, you lead, because it's your power. But Paul gets it carried away here. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us? Folks, do not lose heart, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, in your life, don't be given up, don't be given over to despair, because the power of God is in your life. Verse 20, he gives us some examples. Look, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's pretty powerful. In our lives, Lord, we do not have to fear those things. We don't have to fear death. As mentioned this morning, if you want a blessing, get a hold of the Parkers. Stuart is dying of cancer. They're not tracking it anymore. They just know the tumor is growing. And it's going to take its course. And I agree. I went over. I'm going to be a blessing to them. And you talk about them. And he can't wait to get to heaven. That in this he knows what's in store for him. He knows he's going to have to say goodbye to his wife for a while. But they know that they're going to see each other again. In the midst of all this, it'd be great if God in His power took the cancer away. But if not, the hand of God is not drawn short. The power of God is in their life. And the hope and the dreams and all these things they have get better and better, because eternity is around the corner. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is at your disposal. Whew, that's good stuff. Not only that, but then goes on and says, and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, figure out here. It says, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, in every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You know what? Jesus is greater than anyone who's down in Washington, D.C. Whoever's in Augusta, all that going on there, all these mighty men and women have their plans and they wrap themselves in the cloak of the power and authority they have are nothing compared to the power of the Almighty God. I do not need to fear what's taking place, because greater is He that is in me than he is in the world. The power of God will win and vanquish. There's a song that says, this is my Father's world. It says, don't ever let me forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Can I tell you something? I believe with all my heart that God is just giving these people some rope. He's giving them some leeway. And I cringe. In the midst of all this, I was watching some of the State of the Union speech, and I don't care what side of the politics you are on, but I cringed when they said, At one point, if you read the sign above where the podium was, it's one nation under God. And people dared to scowl and frown. Let me tell you something, folks. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is the power that works in us. We are on the winning side. Just hang strong. It might seem like we're losing the battle. Hang strong. God is a patient. He plays the long game. But He is victorious. And if we are on His side, we will win as well. Amen? All right, I'm going into overtime. Verse 22, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body and the fullness of Him who fills us all. And folks, ultimately, Lord, this is His church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's God's church. And He is the head. Folks, we need to open our eyes and realize He's in charge. And God will do great things because He's a great God. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh Lord, we thank You for who You are, the blessings and the richness we have in You, Lord. We already have all of You have given us. Lord, open our eyes that we can see it. Open our eyes, Lord, that we will take what is promised us by Your name, for Your honor, and for Your glory. Thank You, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen.